Good evening, happy Monday. Welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. We're going to try our best to make it even better. Tonight, we're breaking down the latest, hottest topics everyone is talking about. You know, we have to talk about Usher. He is going to take center stage at the Super Bowl halftime show next year in 2024. Find out what he has to say and what people are having to say about it. Then Taylor Swift, you know, she has a big presence. Well, she has encouraged 35,000 new voter registrations based on Instagram post she made last week. Tory Lanez, he is fearful for his life. He's in one of the toughest, he was transferred to one of the toughest jail prisons, actually, where over 40,000 inmates and some have done some very crazy crimes. Find out why he's scared and find out what Megan Thee Stallion has to say about it. Then, if you are on the SNAP program, you will have access to Uber Eats. You can get your grocery deliveries through Uber Eats. Find out what other benefits you can find in Uber Eats in 2024. And then doctors in Maryland have successfully transferred a pig's heart to a dying man. This is the second time they've done the surgery. Find out what they're saying about it. The first man passed away 7 months later, but find out what they're saying about this time, what makes it different. Reminder all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our official website, thestephennightshow.com. If you'd rather watch, just go to our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. When we come back, the question of the day and hot topics, right back after this. Ooh. Feeling sure, feeling clear, feeling positive. Feeling free and complete, felt the love you give. No, you won't ever leave me. I'm positive, positive, yeah, I'm positive. Feeling sure, feeling clear, feeling positive. Tells me a lot. I know who's on the throne of my life. He tells me all the wrong lefts, and when they go right, he's a king, he's a god, he's a big ass. He's a truth, he's a lie, he's a real ass. When he tells me he loves me, I feel it. Ain't nobody on this earth that can steal it. So I'm feeling sure, feeling clear, feeling positive. Said I'm
positive. We're all alone. Nobody knows.
It's a little secret. That's how we should keep it. Maybe we've been creeping on the low.
No time to waste. It's getting late.
Get up off the deep end. We're supposed to be here.
But it feels so good.
Feels so good. When you hit me like that,
touch you right there. Kiss me on my neck. The love we make is real.
Feels so good. Feels so good. VIP chiller and the DJ spinner. Got drink spiller and nobody tripping. That's how we live and we're doing something different.
Yo, what's up? This is Daryl.
It's Rhea.
It's Paco.
It's Aja, and we're the Walls Group, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Thank you for checking us out. Tonight, we have a show full of hot topics everyone's talking about. I want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. Check out our merch. We have some good stuff that you definitely will like, including Chike's hat he has on. Now, this is a National Suicide Prevention Month. So if you or someone you know is struggling, please call or text 988. There are people who can definitely help you. This is also Hispanic Heritage Month, which started September 15th and ends October 15th. And it's just a month where we recognize and honor the Hispanic and Latino communities' achievements, culture, and contributions to the nation's history. So shout out to all the leaders in those groups doing big things. Also, please register to vote. If you have not registered to vote, please do so. We have some very important elections coming up this year and next year, so make sure that you register. You can go to vote.org for more information. All right, Linnea, Chike, how y'all feeling? Y'all good?
Yep.
Blessed and highly favored.
Yes, I am good. I was sick all weekend, literally sick all weekend, and I feel much better today. You know, that's all how it happens, but I thought I had COVID. But I took two tests and they both came back negative. But yeah, so it's good to be back. I'm a little hoarse, but it's good to be back. All right, well, the question of the day is, now the Senate is removing their dress code. Do you think there should be a dress code or not? I'll start with you, Linnea.
Well, I definitely printed out the wrong thing because I don't have that.
Yeah, that was a switch last minute, sorry.
Really? I was ready for the brush your teeth question.
Right.
A dress code for the Senate.
Yeah, you know, they usually had the suits and the ties and now they're allowing people, because you know that one senator who has a mental health issue, the one who had the stroke, I can't think of his name, Pennsylvania.
Fetterman.
Chuck Schumer said that, you know, people should be able to wear what they want to wear. But there are a lot of backlash on both sides saying this is a professional environment. It's always been like this. Will people take us seriously coming in our sweatpants or our jeans or whatever? Do you think there should be a dress code?
People don't take y'all seriously now because y'all don't know what y'all doing. So what difference does it make what somebody has on? I mean, you know what? The old way is not working. So maybe if you try something different and something new, I mean, that's not even different than new, somebody just being comfortable being themselves, because a lot of men don't like wearing suits. Mm-hmm. Don't like that. They feel stuffy. They feel restricted and confined. Yeah. He's a big dude. Like, he is a big dude. Dr. Fetterman is a big dude.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for comfortability purposes, as long as he's getting stuff done related to the policies that he talked about during his campaign, then what does he wear matter?
Yeah. I saw a discussion about this. They were saying, well, I wouldn't want my pilot wearing sweatpants, or I wouldn't want, you know, if I go to certain offices, I wouldn't want to see them just dressed down. But Chike, is that an old way of thinking, or do you think that people should be able to wear what they want to wear?
So I am somewhere in between. I'm not a conservative, but I do believe that there needs to be, and this is, and what brings me to this decision, it's not just about the dress code. It's about in life in general. I think that there should be a hard line of a tradition that we stick to. That's the baseline. And maybe on Fridays, y'all can have dress down day. Or maybe in the summertime, y'all can be more relaxed. But I do think that you're representing me when you are speaking to a foreign agent. You're representing me when you are moving around the country talking to other delegates. You're representing this state, or my senator was representing this state. And if you're representing me, I think that you should handle my business in business attire. If you're handling my money, I would feel a little crazy if you had tattoos on your face and you're dressed like you just came out the gym and you're handing me my bills at the bank. Pardon me for feeling that way, but that's just how I am.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation, because I know, like, where I work, apparently years before I worked there, they were very strict on dress code. They could only dress down maybe once a month, from what I understand. But now it's a lot more casual. Even on Wednesdays, we can wear gym clothes. It's called Wellness Wednesday. You can wear gym clothes to work. And some people I see, they think Wellness Wednesday is every day. Because I see some of these people, I'm thinking, what do you have on? And I just, like, it took me forever to get to the comfortable enough to dress down on Wednesdays. But even then, it's kind of like, you know what I mean? So I think it just depends. And I think it depends on the profession. But the main thing is getting the job done.
Can I add an anecdote to this? I just want to add an analogy to this so that people can kind of have a visual. So if you have, and this came from a famous person, I won't say his name, but this came from a famous person. If you have your favorite meal, whatever that is, but it's served to you on a garbage can lid, you know, would you want it? It's all about the presentation, right? I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, interesting conversation. Well, tweet us at home and let us know. Do you think the Senate should change their dress code? Should they have a dress code? Yes or no? Stephen Knight Show, SHO. All right. Well, it's official. Usher has been named to headline Super Bowl 2024, Super Bowl next year. The 44 explained that the performance has been a goal of his bucket list. Now the goal is being checked off. On Sunday, the 44-year-old singer shared a joint Instagram post with Apple Music. The post contained a video of the beginning of scene from the Usher's 2004 music video Confessions Part 2. However, instead of the singer receiving a phone call from a woman he got pregnant, the singer received a phone call from Kim Kardashian. Kardashian reveals to Usher that she's finally got the answers to those rumors, and the 44-year-old is doing the Super Bowl. She said, "You're playing Apple Music halftime show in Vegas. You're doing the Super Bowl." As the conversation continued, Kardashian added that Usher had been doing a great job with his Las Vegas residency. However, this performance has to be different, she says. Now, following the promotional video, the Kardashian, Apple Music, and Usher released additional promotional videos featuring Deion Sanders, Marshall Lynch, and Odell Beckham. However, perhaps the most heartwarming promotion video to see presents Usher revealing the news to his past self. Now, the same day, Apple Music published Usher's exclusive interview with Zane Lowe. During the interview, Usher shared his excitement and revealed that he feels relieved that the news is now public. So pretty much he said that Jay-Z had called him up and said, "It's time." Usher didn't know what he was talking about. He said, "It's time for you to do Super Bowl." We know Jay-Z is head of Roc Nation, who is partnered with NFL for those live entertainment strategists. So Usher said it was hard for him to hold that secret from his kids and his family because he couldn't tell anyone. And then a few days later, it was announced and he finally could. But he said that, I was listening to an interview he did today on CBS Mornings, and he said that one of his kids asked him about the Super Bowl just randomly. And he said, "Well, you know, you have to, wish things into fruition and, you know, manifest those kind of things." But he knew that at that point he was already playing it. But he said he thinks it's just good timing because He had the 2-year residency in Vegas, has been very successful, and now Super Bowl is going to Vegas next year. He also has a new album called Coming Home, which is his first full-length studio release since 2016 that will release the same day as the performance, February 11th. So, Chike, Usher said he plans on bringing out all the stops. He said his music speaks for itself. Do you think he's going to kill it?
I think he will. He's been at it since he's been 14. I mean, why not?
Right.
Usher is a living legend at this point. You know, he's done his time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I heard talk this morning because I saw something about that this morning on the news. And someone asked the question, someone ignorant asked the question, does he even have enough songs that to be able to hold a Super Bowl? Are you kidding me? He's been singing since he's been 14. He's had hits since 14.
Yeah.
Stop playing with me.
He sold over 80 million albums, you know.
You're gonna respect Usher.
Yeah. Usher, baby. Lindia, what do you think about this news?
So Chike stole my fire because that same dumb behind comment I heard as well. You know, when people make comments like that, that means they are not historians of the culture or artists in general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because for you to say that, and this man, as Chike said, since he was 14, he can keep you busy for a minute just with confessions.
Right, exactly.
Just with confessions.
Yep.
Let's not forget he can dance. Like he it's another dance. Component to him.
He can skate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like for you to say that means you know nothing. That means you know nothing, but that's neither here nor there. I think that it's an amazing thing for him, especially since this residency in Vegas has been getting rave reviews. And I think he just did like one night in Paris or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's still over there. That's where he did his interview via satellite from Paris.
So that's an amazing thing. I am so happy for him. And I can't wait to tune in to the Super Bowl just to watch that, just like I watched Rihanna, and tune in. And, you know, just have, I really think he's going to put on a spectacular show. And I know that as of right now, that planning has already begun. Like, we gotta blow this out of park, period.
Right. Yeah.
I just want to say something about his residency, though, before I stop talking. If you pay attention to Usher's residency show, he's doing something that no other artists have the heart or the gumption to do. And he's sharing his stage with other artists.
That's right.
That is huge. That's what's making his show so great, because he's being generous with his platform. And he's showing and giving spotlight to people that he admires.
Giving flowers.
That goes very far. That goes very far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he definitely has the hits. I mean, like you said, he's been doing it for 3 decades. He sold so many albums. He has so many number one hits. He's a great performer. This residency in itself shows what he's capable of doing, you know, even at this point in his career, which he's still very young. And he said, don't even expect this show at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But I didn't like, I was listening to this other show and they were comparing him already to Rihanna, her performance last year. Let them do their own thing. You know what I mean? They're two different artists.
Usher's a pregnant woman and a non-pregnant man. Oh, that's a good comparison.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, congratulations, Usher. All right. Well, Taylor Swift has once again demonstrated her influence and impact beyond the realm of music. In a recent Instagram post, the pop star urged her fans to register to vote, resulting in a staggering 35,000 new voter registrations. Swift's post, which was made on National Voter Registration Day, not only encouraged her fans to exercise their democratic right, but also highlighted the power of their voices. This strong response clearly showcases the immense reach and influence that Taylor Swift possesses as a public figure. Now, with a massive following over 272 million on Instagram alone, the 22 singer has proven that she can pretty much mobilize her fan base to take action on important issues by directing her fans to vote.org, a nonprofit organization that offers voter registration services. Swift empowered her supporters to get involved in the democratic process and make a change. The surge in new voter registrations is a testament to the enthusiasm and dedication of Swift's fan base, affectionately known as Swifties. So, Linnea, what do you think about this, that she's not only utilizing, obviously, her talent to sell records, but also to make an impact on social issues?
That's great. Wonderful for you, Taylor. Bravo. Thanks.
Chiki, what are your thoughts?
I think that it's wonderful. I think that when you have a platform like that, those are the things that you should do.
Yeah.
I think it's required.
Yeah, I agree. I remember one weekend, this was pre-COVID, I guess. I was bored to death. It was a Sunday. And for me, I just didn't get the hype for Taylor Swift. I mean, nothing against her, but I just didn't get why everybody just loves this woman so much. But her documentary was on Netflix, and I watched it. And I will say that I understood her more, why people like her so much. But in the documentary, she was someone was running for office where she's from in Tennessee, and they wanted they were against gay marriage or something like that. And she really wanted to speak out, but her management and her parents were like, "Don't say not to." And she just couldn't do it. And they said, you're going to lose fans, stay neutral. And she ended up doing it anyway. But it shows, you know, she's using her influence in a positive way, and stances that she agrees with. So, yeah, I think you have to give kudos to that, you know.
But when you're as huge as her, right, and you have to think about people like Michael Jackson, Madonna, Janet Jackson, Taylor Swift, you know, anybody that huge, you can afford to step out there and lose a couple of friends because your fan base is so huge, it's not really doing any damage.
Yeah. But I think it's also scary in a world where they're canceling people left and right. But to her credit, she did it anyway.
But she's not telling people who to vote for.
Right.
Just, you know, it was in regards to, because I think I've seen that snippet. And because, like, her management is, like, it involves her mom and her dad, doesn't it?
And some other...
I think it involves some family members. And her stance is she started crying, if I'm correct, Steve, and she was crying. Yeah. You know, yeah. She's like, it just doesn't feel right, you know, to not say something along those lines and just to keep quiet. And everybody else, and of course, and let's keep it all the way funky, everybody in that room was white.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody of color in that room with her, and they all didn't want her to say nothing.
Right.
They didn't want her to say anything. Mm-hmm. But did anyone have that same gumption when she was dating the racist?
Mm.
Did you put yourself front and center when she was dating a dude that was a racist? Now, I don't know if she's still with him, but did anybody say anything to her about that and how... And what that would do, because I know they talk, you know, in regards to losing fans, but did anybody say anything then? Because I ain't hearing nothing about that. But,
Well, I can confirm that she's not with the racist anymore because she's talking to one of the football players. She's
supposedly. It's supposed to be Travis Kelce, but he like dark meat. But anyway, all right.
That's another subject.
That's a whole nother subject.
Right. Well, Page Six is reporting that Tory Lanez is scared for his life while being in the slammer after being found guilty for shooting Meg Thee Stallion. Now, Tory is scared for his life and safety in prison. He feels like he is an instant and direct target because of his celebrity status, a source told the news outlets. He stands at 5'3", so his size is definitely a setback. The insider added, he is housed with real hardcore criminal murderers. He is really hoping that his lawyers will be able to continue to fight for his freedom while still maintaining his innocence. The whole thing is a mess. Now, they said he shed a few tears while behind bars, and he's definitely had his moments where he is teared up. And that's what and that in jail, he is realizing who his real friends are. Why he's in jail, he's realizing who his friends are. Now, previously reported that the prison that he is transferred to has a reputation of being very dangerous. North Kern State Prison in Delano, California, reportedly holds about 4,000 inmates and has recently made headlines on local news stations for some vicious crimes that took place at the facility. According to TMZ, Ramon Escobar is a known serial killer who was recently charged with first-degree murder after killing his cellmate, Juan Villanueva, who was 53 back in February. Also, on July 4th, 25-year-old Ricardo Saldivar was found dead in his cell, and authorities with the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation are now investigating his death as a homicide. Inmates have also been accused of attacking staff members. According to a report, multiple inmates have found ways to escape the prison despite the facility being fitted with an electric fence around the perimeter. Now, they made reference to when Megan, she submitted a letter when he was being sentenced. She said, I have not experienced a single day of peace. He lied to anyone that will listen. The letter continued to read of her saying, mercy is for people who show remorse, and Tory Lanez has shown none. Her statement continued saying, he's not only shot me, he made a mockery of my trauma. He tried to position himself as a victim and set out to destroy my character and my soul. He lied to anyone who will listen and paid bloggers to disseminate false information about the case on social media. He released music videos to damage my character and continued his crusade. At first, he tried to deny the shooting ever happened. Then he attempted to place blame on my former best friend. In his tantrum of lies, he's blamed the system, blamed the press, and as of late, he is using his childhood trauma to shield himself and avoid culpability. So, I don't know if you all saw the mugshot. They showed the mugshot of him being sent to this.
Oh yeah, that perm was horrible.
Oof. I'll let you take this away. Should he be scared, Lanier?
Absolutely. Her letter was her letter was perfectly stated, because ever since this thing has gone down, people have tried to make her life a living hell, and just coming for this girl, you know, it was messing with her mental health. And, you know, at the end of this, you know, he's trying to blame everybody else, but accepting, you know, responsibility. And this is what happens when you're forced to accept responsibility. It is what it is. And I mean, like, and you know, there's this thing with people writing letters on behalf of people. And then now these letters are being leaked, because I think Iggy Azalea wrote a letter on his behalf. Whoever. Yeah. Whatever. That girl. And right. Recently, Drake took some shots at Megan Thee Stallion while he's on tour. Like, for what? For what?
Yeah. His fans claim he wasn't talking about Megan Thee Stallion. He was talking about Megan and the audience, but we don't know.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Right.
Sure. You're the same dude that just pissed Halle Berry off, but okay.
Right.
You're off then. It is what it is. They found you guilty. This is what it is. You're not going back to Canada, sir. You're going to stay right here, and you're going to have to do this time. I'm not, how long did he get? 5 years, 10 years? How long did he get? You might not even have to do the whole thing.
And yeah.
You know what I mean? So play nice, Tori.
Chiki, what are your thoughts on this?
So, in juxtaposition to his former lifestyle, of course jail is going to be a horrible place to be. Of course it's going to be. You're used to limos and plushness and designers and jewelry and the wig thing that you wear. You're used to all that stuff. None of that is in the pen, bruh. You committed a crime. You wanted to play with guns. When you play with guns and you shoot people, this is what happens. So now that you're in this space, You do what every other criminal does when they're in that space. They adapt to their environment. If you don't adapt to your environment, you may lose your life. That's jail. That's just what it is. Now, you're a man of privilege. You have a talent. You're known. Use that to your advantage. R. Kelly's singing for the guys in jail. He made friends. He learned how to survive. I suggest you do the same because you're going to be there. One more time. Wait a minute. One more, Linnea. I have to repeat the DA Fonnie Willis again. You either deal with reality or reality is going to deal with you.
That's right. I just have a quick question because I'm not sure. Did he already have a record, hence why he got so much time? Is that what that was? Did he already have, like, because, you know, felons are not supposed to have guns. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, because a lot of people feel like this time is excessive, but if he had already been convicted of anything and he was deemed a felon and he has a felony on his record, and then you had a gun and then you shot somebody, then the time that you got was justified because you shouldn't have had a weapon anyway.
Right.
So I think that's
also
the part.
Also, too, I think that the fact that they were talking about deportation for him.
Yeah.
If they were talking about deportation for him, he maybe shouldn't have had a firearm in the first place.
In the first place, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, that whole, you know, this has nothing to do with Megan. This has to do with whatever his whole situation was, you know, and what you were involved in before, what shenanigans you had going on. And all that did was just spill over into this situation.
Yeah. I just want to put an open-ended question out to everyone. Not that I want to answer, but I just want people to think about this. If you had the blessing, which he had the blessing of having a record contract and making the money and becoming this artist, you know, a rags to riches situation, right? And you become this star and you're known around the world, why would you jeopardize that with foolishness? That's all.
Exactly. I saw a post on one of the blogs that said, you know, Megan Thee Stallion performed with Beyonce in Houston on Beyonce's Renaissance tour. It said, imagine you being on stage with Beyonce and your ops being lifted, wig being lifted in a cell. No, that's all right. Well, if you're part of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistant Program known as SNAP, and you'll definitely like this news. Starting in 2024, you'll be able to purchase grocery deliveries through Uber Eats. The company made the announcement earlier this week saying, with prices of goods on the rise and access to fresh and healthy foods crucial for households, our teams have been hard at work building new tools to help you save time and money. Whether you're needing to quickly find groceries within a budget, or you looking to bottle a bottle of bubbly under $20, we're here to take the stress out of shopping for you. We're excited to share updates you'll see in Uber Eats app later this year or in 2024 that will help you get almost anything faster and easier than ever before without breaking the bank. We know that the online food delivery can have meaningful impact reducing barriers to fresh groceries, especially for most vulnerable, including people living in food deserts, seniors, and other facing disabilities or transportation barriers. Helping to improve access to quality food is incredibly important to our work at Uber, and we're proud to use Uber's technology to extensive local delivery networks to offer SNAP recipients the ability to use their benefits to access fresh groceries conveniently from our app in 2024. They also announced that if they have managed Medicaid and Medicare Advantage plans, you can use your FSA cards, as well as EBT cards, et cetera. Do you think this is a good idea, Linnea?
I wish somebody would give me an EBT card. Give me a SNAP card. Because I got the grocery shop for 3 hours. It'd be nice. I would appreciate it. So I really ain't got nothing to say because I can't afford it. I don't qualify for that stuff.
Right.
Why do y'all, matter of fact, I'm upset that y'all get to buy certain things in the store.
Right.
I'm mad that y'all can buy crab legs on your car. I can't even buy crab legs with my cash because I can't afford it. Y'all get snacks and juicy juices and Capri Suns. I'm hating right now. I'm hating. So I'm over it.
Well, you know, some of these communities, they don't have fresh groceries, like they don't have Whole Foods. They don't have some of the fresh vegetables and good produce. Chicken, you think it's a good idea of being able to have that delivered to your home?
Of course. You speaking to somebody who gets the groceries delivered. I've been doing that since the pandemic. It's been a beautiful thing. I love it. I love it. So, yes, I think that it's beneficial. I think that it will help out a lot of families. We'll see. I think that it's a good idea. I just don't know what that does to things in the long term. Like, how does that affect the actual stores in the long run? Will people lose jobs in stores because they won't need as much manpower? Or human power, I shouldn't say manpower, human power. So, I don't know.
I mean, isn't that what's happening now? Isn't that what's happening now? A lot of places are...
Well, no, I hear the reverse is happening now. And I heard they're getting rid of a lot of automated checkouts because they want people in the building again.
Not so, a grocery we'll store. Yeah, they just built new lines of new self-checkout lines at my grocery
that's
store.
That's what I said. Yeah, that's what I say. Steven, do you do online grocery shop? I still go to the store.
I go to the store because I like putting my hands on it. But I have done, like, ordered some things when I couldn't get to the store when I was sick. But I have friends who do, like, Instacart and things like that. I don't do it, though.
Mm.
I actually thought, ironically, before I even saw the store, I thought about doing it this morning. But I was like, no, I'll go to the grocery store.
So, how it's done for me, like my produce and stuff like that, I still do myself because okay. I'm like you. I want to put my hands on it. I got to thump it and smell it and shake it. I got to do that. But any other stuff, you know, I do that in my office. I'm clicking and clicking and it's done.
And it's easy to do because it shows you exactly everything on that, you know, when I've used, you know, so.
Well, it's easy. Like once you shop like a certain way, You have a memory. It's in your library. Mm. So all you got to do is say, click again, and it's done.
Same thing. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I guess it'll save you from overspending. But then part of that is for me also just being physical and going out to just physically walk, you know, because that helps me get my steps in too. It might sound like, but, you know, it's the physical activity part of it too that I actually enjoy. That might sound crazy, but.
No, I get that. All right, well, our last story. So doctors in Maryland successfully transplanted a pig's heart into a dying man, making him the second patient to undergo this experimental surgery. According to AP News, the procedure went down at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, and Lawrence Fawcett, 58, has responded well. In fact, he's reported to be sitting up and laughing just a couple of days after the surgery, which saved him from heart failure. Now, following his surgery, the doctor, Mohammed Muhuddin, he remarked, "It's just an amazing feeling to see the pig heart work in a human." Nonetheless, he said the next few weeks are crucial and acknowledged that we don't want to predict anything. We will take every day as a victory and move forward. As for the surgeon, Dr. Bartley Griffin, he marveled at the feat while calling a successful procedure a great privilege that yields a lot of pressure. "You know, I just keep shaking my head. How am I talking to someone who has a pig heart?" We should add that the pig heart has reportedly undergone 10 different genetic modifications to make it better suited for the human humane system. Now, this development followed David Bennett, 57, undergoing the same procedure in January of 2022. According to University of Maryland School of Medicine, doctors noted that Bennett's experiment strong cardiac function with no obvious signs of acute rejection for nearly 7 weeks after surgery. He passed away nearly 2 months after transplant. So what do you think about this, you know, as we continue to expand, you know, with surgery and different ways of saving people's lives, Chike?
Medically speaking, I think it's a miracle. And it's wonderful that they can save people's lives, but there's no but. I just have inappropriate jokes in my head. I'm just wondering, how is that going to work if it becomes mainstream in people's lives, in actuality, like human association? You know what I mean? Because that is a pig, and so it is pork. How does that work? And I'm sure you can think about where I'm going with this. How does that work?
I don't know. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this? I see your face is precious.
So the inappropriate jokes in Chike's mind, I'm just going to go ahead and rock with what I'm about to say. I'm just going to tone it down. I'm just trying to understand. And of course, you know, we're talking about it. It's a serious thing, but I'm being lighthearted because I just want to be able to understand. Now, you know, pork is one of those things they tell us is not good for you. So to transplant a pig's heart into a human, we don't even operate the same. So how does that work? I'm really serious now. I know that Chike is dying over there, but I need to know, how does that work? How does that physically work? And is he going to want to go into a trough at some time? Will you hear random oinks or, okay, I'm done.
Well, they had the 10 genetic modifications, so maybe they took away some of those desires in those surgeries.
I'm happy that he is okay, but y'all know I have to make light of it. But I would really love to. I'm just really trying to understand. Like, I would be, because how do you genetically modify that? How do you?
Right.
I would want to see it. Like, how do you? Okay.
I wonder why they chose.
I'm pig myself out of trying to be quiet over here. I'm killing myself.
I wonder why they chose the pig out of all animals.
But that's what I'm saying. Of all the animals to choose,
right. I think because of the valves.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Medical education.
Medical education.
Yeah, I think.
Well, indeed, thank you as always for Hot Topics. Check out CMU Reviews, and we will be right back.
Have you ever been somewhere? Feels like everybody's watching you, and every little thing you do, every little way you move, something's not right. Could it be that I didn't fix my hair? Why would they even care about mine? I don't know why they keep looking my way. What could it be? Why they staring at me? I wish they'd turn away. Maybe it's 'cause you're nice. Maybe it's 'cause you're beautiful. Maybe they're just too shy to let you know. It's 'cause you're glowing. perspective. It's all subjective. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Take a look at your reflection and don't worry about perfection. Love who's in the mirror and then hold her. You should know why they keep looking your way and why they choose you again and again and cannot turn away. Maybe it's 'cause you're nice. Maybe it's 'cause you're beautiful. Or maybe they're just too shy to let you know.
Starting
know my love's real for sure. Say yes, say no,
say yes, say no.
But never say
back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. How's the weather in DC?
DC weather, so it rained a lot over the weekend, mostly on Saturday, okay. And then half of Sunday, but we still made it out. I don't know if this makes news down or where you guys are, but you know, our pandas are leaving our zoo, the National Zoo. We've had pandas since like the 70s. So yeah. They had a whole panda palooza event. And
are they getting rid of all of them altogether?
Yeah, the lease is over and they're going back to China. All of our pandas are leaving us. So they're doing it in December. They'll leave in December. But yeah, we went to a little event the zoo's doing, you know, kind of see the pandas and they do some special things and stuff like that. So even though it rained, we made the most of it.
When I was a kid, it was all about the pandas. We used to go to the zoo.
Yeah, it's pandas. I mean, the whole exhibit's built around them, so I don't know what they're going to do or if they're going to find some kind of black bears and paint some white paint on them and just kind of pass them off. You know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But so that was a big activity for this weekend.
Wow, yeah. Well, it was beautiful here, but I was in the bed sick, so I didn't get to enjoy it.
Sorry to hear. And I do want to pause for a second. So I've gotten some feedback mainly from my mom saying that every week you ask how I'm doing, and every week I don't ask how you or Chike is doing. I want to pause. You told me you were sick over the weekend, but Chike, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I told Stephen earlier, I'm blessed and highly favored. And thank you, Mom El Chajone, for considering us. Thank you.
I'm glad the rudeness didn't come from you, Mom.
Well, you haven't met my mom.
Right. Well, listen, I'll let y'all take it away with movie reviews.
Sure thing. So I saw A Haunting in Venice, and this is a movie I was talking about for a little while, but this is the latest Hercule Poirot movie, basically the Agatha Christie main character from Murder on the Orient Express and all of her murder mysteries. And this movie is actually based on a short story of hers and was never made into films. So this is our first time seeing it. But the movie stars Kenneth Branagh, and he actually directed the film, but he stars as the title character, as the main character, Hercule Poirot. And we have Tina Fey, Michelle Yeoh, and a few other characters in there. But essentially the story is Poirot is kind of retired. He's stopped taking cases, and he's just kind of enjoying life in Venice in 1947. And he meets a writer friend of his who says, you have to come to the seance. I think this person is the real deal, and I want you to kind of disprove her. So they end up at this old house that's in disrepair in Venice, and they decide to watch the seance. And as things go along, someone gets murdered. And at this time, a heavy storm happens too. So they're all kind of locked in this house in Venice with a murderer. And spooky things start happening as well. You know, this one, it happens on Halloween, so they kind of lean into that vibe. But overall, it's fun. I liked it. You know, if you're into the murder mysteries, I mean, this is, you know, again, it's not Agatha Christie's best work, but it's a fun watch. There's a lot of kind of twists and turns, and you get to kind of help solve the mystery along with the detective and anyone else that's left in the building. But I enjoyed it. Yeah, I like murder mysteries, you know, Glass Onion, Knives Out are two of my favorites. So this one kind of fits in line. You're not getting anything new or anything extraordinary, but I think the actors do a good job of kind of keeping that mystery. And there's a few spooky, like, jump out moments as well. So, yeah, I would recommend it.
Nice. Is that the only thing you saw?
Yeah, that's the only thing I got a chance to see. So, yeah, I'll let you take it away.
Okay, I actually saw two things. The first is Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, which stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Dar Salim, and Anthony Starr. You know Anthony Starr from The Boys. And, of course, everybody knows Jake Gyllenhaal. I watched it because I have not watched a Guy Ritchie film that I did not like. Every film that he puts out, I always love, actually. Not just like, I love his movies. And so I was curious to see how he would tackle a wartime or dealing with military subject matter. And the story is about basically... it's a soldier. He's basically overseas in Afghanistan, and he needs an interpreter in order for them to find certain members of the Taliban and disband them and to stop them from creating weapons of mass destruction. And so the interpreter has a shady past within Afghanistan. That's what makes him so valuable. And he knows the lay of the land, and he knows some of the Taliban members. And pretty much the Taliban is very aggressive, and they're on the hunt for American soldiers. And they've been doing insurgent attacks all around the country. And so he needs the interpreter in order for him to get deeper into the country to stop them from creating the weapons that they're creating. And so there's a situation that happens, and basically it's him and the interpreter, and the interpreter basically saves his life. They made a deal with the interpreter that he would get his visa and a passport to come to America. And of course, America welches on the deal. And so Jake Gyllenhaal's character feels like he needs to make it right. Nothing but action. I'm not going to say nothing but action. There's a lot of drama in there, but there's great amount of action because it's a Guy Ritchie film. Come on.
Yep.
And it's superb. Like, there's moments where I was just like sitting straight up, like on the edge with high anxiety because of the action and the tension that's in this film. If you like guns and explosions and battling and fighting, this is the movie for you. Definitely check it out. And at the end, I'll tell you the end. No, not the end. I'll jump to the credits. When the credits were rolling, they were showing different pictures of different soldiers with their interpreters in real life. And I think what I got from the end that this movie was a love letter to the interpreters for our armed forces. Definitely check it out. It was worth watching.
Yeah, I was on my list, and I see that it's streaming on Prime now too. So I am going to watch it.
And I want to say something. Thank you for saying that, because it is on Prime. But you brought me back to something that I wanted to mention. So apparently what's been happening is these movies are going to the theater and they're not making the money that they need to make in the theater. So they're going direct to streaming. And some of the films are in both. Like, they're in the theaters and they're on streaming. But what they're trying to do, I guess, is make their money in the box office first to see what they can get. And if they can't get anything, then they'll go to streaming. But if you pay attention, a lot of movies are coming to streaming a lot faster.
Yeah.
And the only movies that aren't are the ones that are visually dynamic for the screen. I've been saying it all along. If you want me to come to the theater, you have to make it worth my while. I've been saying that. And only the movies that are dynamic optically are the ones that are sustaining in the theaters. Mm-hmm. Just saying. So the next thing that I watched was a new mini series on Peacock called The Continental. The Continental is from the world of John Wick. It's not a John Wick story, but it has elements of John Wick. It's basically about the hotel that exists in the movie. It stars Ray McKinnon, Ben Robson. You know him from Animal Kingdom. He was one of the brothers. Mel Gibson and the late, great Lance Riddick. Hands down, Octane on fire. I really enjoyed The Continental because it is like, it does give you John Wick theme. Mm-hmm. It gives you that same energy, but it's telling a different story. And you kind of know John Wick. You kind of know what you're going to see. You kind of know what you're going to get. You kind of know where it's going to go. This is an original story and you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know how it's going to play out. And it's just Octane on fire. Like I said, the gunplay is magnificent. The fight scenes are magnificent. The car chases are magnificent. The scenes are magnificent. Everything about this keeps me on the edge and it makes me want to see more. They put them out every Friday. I think it's going to only be 3 installments. One is out now, so we have 2 more to go. I do believe that if this is successful, they'll probably tell more stories of the same nature, but they'll probably do it a little differently. But definitely check it out. It's on Peacock.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited because it hasn't been too many things that I really enjoy watching anymore. And so now I'm getting excited again about watching stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch the latest morning show episode?
The latest what?
Morning show. The morning show.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Listen, that bunch of slippery, slimy. It's a lot going on.
Listen, I was at the gym on Friday because it comes on Thursdays. I used to watch it on Friday though, and so I was at the gym and I think I was on the bike and I was going through TikTok and they showed the clip of the interview. I was there at the interview, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to get home. It is so, so good. It is so, so good.
It is.
But Big Brother still killing it. I mean, I didn't think it came on last night because on Sunday nights it comes on a lot later because of Sunday Night Football. But it was really good. I watched it today. But I would start watching this series yesterday called Painkiller. And it's with Uzza Aduba and Matthew Broderick. And it's about the OxyContin, you know, that family.
Yeah, Sackler brother. The Sackler family, yep.
Yeah, and I mean, it was one of those things I had to turn it off so I'd go to bed because I'd be up all night. It was really, I watched maybe 3 or 4 episodes, but it's really good. It shows the lens from different, it shows the family, obviously, the family who created the drug, but also shows the pharmaceutical sales reps who are selling the drug. And then it shows Uzza's character who is researching and trying, just going after the family, saying this drug is killing people. This opioid is killing communities. And I know if it's happening here, it has to happen all over the world, or at least the country. And so it's just showing different sides. And it also shows the family. It's a father. He has his wife and his stepson, and he hurts his back, and he gets put on him and shows their how they interact, you know, how they, the drug, how it impacts their family. It's so good though. It's so good. So check that out. But yeah,
Did you see Dope Sick from a few years ago?
I don't think so.
Oh, you'll like that. It's the same. It's about the Sackler family. It was done basically. It was like the first one of those kind of types of films about the families. But Michael Keaton is in it. He stars as a doctor.
I did see that. Because he's the doctor that got caught on the drug, right?
Yep. So yeah, I know Painkiller's kind of along the same line. So I was just curious.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And just how can – I'll just give one spoiler alert. So the gentleman, the father who has the wife and the stepson, he gets addicted to him and he acts out one day because he's hiding it from the family, but his stepson notices his stepson is stealing himself, giving to his friends and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then he notices one day the dad goes berserk because he can't find him. Like he's moving the stove out the way to see if one drop behind, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so he kind of confronts the mom and like, you see what he's doing. Why are you acting like you don't see this? And turns to this big thing. But one day they go to the doctor, try to get everything kind of regimented. And then he comes home, he flushes him down the toilet and he says, we're done with this. But that's not how addiction works.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so it just shows really how it took a man who, you know, was supporting his family and how now he's trying to hide his addiction. So he's going to taking it the, you know, as directed to pop it like his Skittles. You know what I mean? It's just so sad. But they saw the people overdosing in the like they would literally get it from the pharmacy, get in the car and overdose in the car. It was just sad. But also you see from the pharmaceutical sales rep, we're making money. They're junkies. We can't help if they're junkies. They're going to abuse any drug. You know, it's just that. Oof.
Yeah.
It makes you really question, like, when your doctor wants to put you on something, is this good for me or not? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or all the ads you see on TV about all the random drugs. And you're like, okay, yeah. What is this about?
Well, you know, years ago we had someone on the show and he had dedicated his life to finding a cure for cancer because he lost so many family members to cancer in a short amount of time. And, he had worked with a lot of holistic doctors because they were saying that one of the things that doctors don't learn much about in school is about diet. That's not, they're pushed on pharma. Mm-hmm. And one doctor said, there's no study that shows, but taking more than 5 different pills, how can it clash and affect your body? And so when I see people on all these medications, it's kind of like, you know, but yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
And let's keep in mind, every medication has a side effect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, but that was definitely, so check that out, Painkiller on Netflix. Anything coming out of the pipeline?
Nothing major. So I think the big one this weekend is Dumb Money. I don't know if y'all have seen the trailers, but this is the one based on the people who invested in GameStop during that, like early in the pandemic. And it was like in all the news and people were all talking about like the hedge fund was trying to short it and go down and all these people invested in it. And so it's kind of their story of how they kind of made all this money off of like this video game retailer. So that one looked interesting. Honestly, it's probably like it seems interesting enough for a streaming movie. I don't know if it seemed good enough to go into the theater for, but that's on my list. And then, of course, The Covenant, now that I've heard how good it is, I'm going to definitely check that one out.
Yeah. I saw a preview or a trailer for something today that I'm interested in. It's called Cassandro. It's about a wrestler who is getting into the Mexican wrestling world, but he's a LGBTQIA+. And that seems to be pretty interesting because just the subject matter and what they were talking about and how they were trying to ostracize him out of the wrestling community. But eventually he becomes this big wrestling star. So I think it should have high drama, but I'm gonna have to read subtitles. So that's cool. They tend to be the better movies.
Yep.
They do, but all that reading, we had a headache. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for letting us know to spend our time and money on what not to. Have a great week, and we'll see you again next Monday.
All right, thanks.
We'll be right back after.
Time for heartbreak and pain. Swear I thought that closer, is it too late? I wanna know if we can go somewhere and talk about it. Maybe we should separate, or maybe we just need some space. But why you can't see things from my point of view? I can't replace. We get to arguing, then you cuss me out. I say watch your mouth, then you tell me who I'm talking about. Never on the same page. But one thing for sure, I still think about you. Think about you. And tell me what's love if it ain't without you. Away. I know I was wrong, swallow my pride. I'm begging you to stay. Are we going through the motions, or is it too late? I wanna know if we can go somewhere and talk about it.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Tonight we are introducing a new segment. I'm very excited about this. But first, let me introduce our correspondent. He's the founder of HBCU Standard, a family of HBCU-centric blogs. And tonight he's representing HBCU Money Blog. He is going to be sharing important economic information related to the African-American community. We definitely need to get our money together. So please let me help welcome William Foster. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
So listen, I've known me and Will, we went to school together. And so he's been doing this work for a long time. And I thought it would be important for our viewers and listeners to get this information. So each month he's going to share with us some important information. So what do you have for us today? Well, first, before we get into that, tell us just a little bit about your company and why this information is so important.
So I am the chief investment officer of a small investment firm based out of the Southwest. My background is in economics and finance, as well as community development. And this particular piece of our company is the media part. And tonight, hopefully, and going forward, we'll be sharing some information that will help all of us make better decisions in building stronger institutional and households in the African-American community.
Very important information. Well, what do you have for us tonight?
So tonight, this is a recent piece of information that I had done some research on, and that is passive income. And I know we constantly hear the big buzzwords around passive income and things of that nature. And passive income is defined as lightly money that you do not have to actually put in work for. And for the IRS, passive income is defined through interest from your bank account, in particular, dividends, which you may earn through ownership of stock, and rental properties. Those are the three main baskets of which passive income is earned. It is also the least taxed. Let me say again, it is the least taxed income. And so for a family that is earning $50,000 from going to work, and a family earning $50,000 through dividends, the family that earns $50,000 through dividends will take home more. And at the end of the day, it's not how much you make, but it's how much you keep. Mm-hmm. And obviously for a lot of African Americans, we are in last place with every economic statistic you can think of. And so median income for African American households as of 2021 was $48,000. Well, our passive income is $2,500. So, and only 5% of African-American households earn any passive income. So we are both dead last in the percentage of households who actually get passive income, and we're dead last in the amount of passive income we earn. In comparison to our counterparts, say the Asian American households, they earn about $4,500 a year in passive income, with roughly 25% of their households earning passive income. For white Americans, same numbers, about 25% of their households earn passive income, with that number being about $4,500. And interestingly enough, in the Hispanic and Latino community, only about 7% of their households earn passive income, but they also are earning about $4,500 in passive income annually. So we have some work to do and some ground to make up. It is easier to do through passive income. And so it has to become a priority for our households.
Absolutely. Great information. I knew nothing about passive income. So thank you for that.
I constantly try to tell him, though, ladies and gentlemen.
He's always trying to put me on. He's telling me all the time. I need to start listening.
All the time.
Well, listen, where can everyone know you, that you you have a website and you're on social media? Where can we keep up with everything as relates to HBCU Money?
So everything HBCU Money, you can find us on Twitter, X, Instagram, Threads. All of them are at HBCU Money. You can follow me personally on Instagram or Twitter, X, at W Foster IV.
All right. Well, thank you as always for this information, and we'll see you again next month. We'll be right back after this.
What's up? This is your girl, Angie Stone, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. Tonight, we're highlighting Auntie Renee Storyteller. Auntie Renee is a captivating storyteller who uses her creative skills for performances and motivational speaking. She performs storytelling for festivals, schools, and birthday parties, and she does monthly workshops. click the link below in this bio of this video for more information on Auntie Renee's Storyteller. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you again next Monday. Good night. Everything's gonna be